wanted us to take just a little time to think about what's probably not the most pleasant subject or the one that we like to think about the most, but it's one that we should think about. I want us to think about death for a few minutes. I guess probably because I've been thinking about death a lot this week myself because of going to preach my aunt's funeral. And on the way there, we on the way to Ladd's, we got stuck on the interstate because of a wreck where three people died in that wreck. And so death is certainly something that has been on my mind a lot this week. And then Johnny Felker's daughter called to tell me about her death Thursday as well. And so that added to that. So it's been a week where that's been my consideration. And sometimes those things that are going on around me influence the subjects in the Bible that kind of stick out or jump out at me for us to discuss together. There's a poem, "I Am Death." I am death. I prey on all mankind. I come at the darkest hour when they know not. I still the heartbeat and the lifeblood stops its flow. I rob men of their future and turn fair beauty to dust. I take men from the living and place them in the grave. I send him forth to face eternity in another world. You cannot avoid my stealthy call, for I will come. Yes, be prepared to meet me. I am death. So we want to consider death a little bit, and as in doing that, I want us to consider Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. Joshua, of course, had faithfully led the children of Israel into conquer the Canaan's land, but now he is old and full of years, as the Bible often says, and he knows that his time is drawing near. And it's very interesting what he says to the children of Israel. I always find it interesting to look in the Scriptures and see the different things that are said by those who knew they were about to die, by those, even on one occasion in respect to Moses, God actually speaks and gives a form of eulogy, if you will. In the case of John the Baptist, Jesus speaks of him, giving a little statement about him. And so it's always interesting to see how people in the Bible dealt with death, what they thought about death, what they knew about death, what they didn't know about death. Just like us, they didn't know everything there was to know about it, certainly. So we look at Joshua 23 and verse 14. He's preparing the children of Israel to go on without him. And here's what he has to say on that occasion. "And now I am about to go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed." Now, that's an amazing statement. Not one thing that the Lord said has failed. That is a whole different lesson, but I want us to focus on the beginning where he tells them, it's interesting, he doesn't just say, "I'm dying." He has a very eloquent way of putting it, which teaches us something about death itself. Let's think about what he has to say and consider what we can learn about death from it. First of all, we want to notice that death is personal. Notice, you know, Joshua didn't just say, "Well, you know, people die." No, he said, I am. And death is very personal to us, isn't it? It's certainly something we think about for ourselves, you know, we're concerned about for ourselves and for our loved ones. And we think about, it is a personal situation each time somebody that we love and care about dies. It's a different thing each time. And it's very personal, not just to the person who dies, but to those who are left behind. It's very different for each one. I was talking to the different people. I noticed, you know, at the funeral yesterday that my uncle was choked up. He had apparently he'd been struggling. He had laryngitis. He'd been either crying or you know, just hadn't slept or what, but he couldn't even hardly talk. One of my cousins, two of my cousins, one of the sons and the daughter, were just crying throughout the entire service. The other two brothers, the other two sons of my aunt, my other two cousins, they were just sitting there stone-faced, like they were in a daze. You know, they each reacted differently. Well, it was one person died, and yet you've got all these different reactions. And you will find that's the case. You know, no two people are going to react in the same way. People are different, and death affects them personally in a different way. And because of that, it's a good idea for us not to judge people based on how they grieve and how they mourn. Some people want to talk about it. They want to talk nonstop about that person. Other people don't want to talk about it at all. Some people want to be alone. Other people can't stand to be alone. You know, so if we're helping those who are grieving, we need to realize that we need to find out what they need. I've heard people, sometimes somebody will be crying at a funeral and somebody will come up to them and say, "Oh, it's okay, don't cry. Don't cry. There's no need to cry." Well, now, maybe you don't want to cry, but that person, they need to cry. They need to let that out. You know, bottle that up inside. That may not be healthy for them. That may not be good for them. And so we need not tell other people how this person's death affects them. We don't know how it affects them. And the other thing that we'll find, and you've probably noticed this, is that each person that you love and care about who has died, it's different each time, isn't it? When a father dies, it's not the same as when a mother dies. When a spouse dies, it's not the same as if a child dies or if a brother or sister dies. It's different. They're different processes of grieving because our relationship with every other person in our lives is unique. We do not have the same exact relationship with any two people, ever. There are always differences. There are always uniquenesses to that. So death is a very personal thing. And Joshua recognized that. He spoke of it in a very personal way. But also we want to notice that death is certain. We know that. We should, at least. We're not going to skip it. We're not going to go around it, run around it and avoid it. We can't hide from death. We do know that Enoch and Elijah didn't die, but they were the only ones, and that was a long time ago. Everybody else since then has died. You know, interestingly enough, because of the fact that some people were raised and died again, the number of deaths, if you add up all the numbers of deaths and all the number of births and, you know, take out the people that are still alive today, there have been more deaths than there have been births. Isn't that odd? It's an odd thing to think about. More deaths than there have been births. Of course, you add into that the abortions, and it certainly increases that number of deaths without births. But we need to understand that death is a certain thing. Job 5:26 says, "You shall come to your grave." Now, he goes on to say, "in a ripe old age." Well, not everybody gets to make it to a ripe old age. Some die young. But you shall come to your grave. That is going to happen. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, "The living know they will die." It's something we don't like to think about a lot. We don't like to dwell on it, but we know it. And certainly when we go to a funeral or when someone else does die, we think about it and realize, me too, I'm going that way. And we sing, I don't know that we sing it, I don't even know if it's in this songbook. I've heard it sung and I've seen it in songbooks. It's not one of my favorite songs because of the fact that it is about death and it's not a favorite subject. But that song that says, we are going down the valley. Well, we are. We're all headed that way. And that's what Josh was talking about. I am. He didn't say, I might be going. I might be, you know, he said, I am. There was no doubt about it in his mind. It was a certainty. He knew that he would die. But then we want to understand that death is a journey. That's the way that he phrases it. I like the way he phrases it. I am going the way. Going that way. You know, he thinks of it as, you know, this is somewhere. He doesn't, you know, when we say, you know, well, so-and-so died. That sounds so final. Joshua speaks of it not as just, this is the end, I'm going to be dead. He said, I am going somewhere. I am making a journey. And that's a wonderful way for us to think about it. Well, yes, death is certainly the end of this life, the end of this world's experience for us, but it's not the end. It's a journey to somewhere else. Somewhere, if we've been faithful to Christ, somewhere better than this. Somewhere, we talked about Job in class, somewhere where the pains and sorrows and suffering like Job had won't touch us. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? You think about that for very long, eventually you get to the point where you start to say, I want to go. I'm ready to take that trip. I don't want to stay here anymore. Of course, we have loved ones here that we don't want to leave behind, but at some point we just are ready to go somewhere else that's better than here. Acts 21 and verse 13, Paul was making that journey. He was going to Jerusalem and they were warning him, look, here's what's going to happen to you when you get there. And he said, I'm ready not only to be imprisoned, but to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. In 2 Timothy 4 verses 6 through 8, he says, the time of my departure has come. Notice the way that he talks about that, just like Joshua. This isn't the end. I'm just leaving. I'm departing. I'm not done. I'm just going. Y'all stay here. I'm going. I'm my departure. It's time for me to take that next step, to take that next trip. That's an interesting way for us to look at it. You know, the thing about a trip is, when we were going to Lads to Leaders, everybody that went, you know, they packed clothes, they checked their car out, filled it up with gas, you know, they got ready to go. Anytime we take a trip, we get ready to go on the trip. We don't just up and jump in the car and then say, hey, you know what, let's go take a week trip. Well, no, if you're going to take a trip for a week, you got things, you got to prepare for that. Well, what about the trip of death, the journey of death? We need to be prepared for that. And of course, only through Jesus can we be prepared for that journey. But you know what happens if you don't prepare well? You may wind up in a place you don't want to be. One time when Dawn and I were traveling back from, her mother lived in Nebraska, and we had traveled out there to see her, and we're traveling back, and we were coming through Kansas City, and this was before GPS and cell phones and things, and we were coming back through there, and we were just following the interstate, and kind of like Interstate 40 used to do down, I guess they've kind of routed the signs to go around it, but it used to be in Memphis, Interstate 40, you just go into downtown and boom, you're on Sam Cooper Boulevard in the middle of downtown Memphis. And that's kind of the way it worked in Kansas City. We're driving down the interstate, and next thing we know, we look around and we're in downtown and we're not on the interstate anymore, and there's a stoplight, and you know, we look around, there's bars on all the windows, and we're like, well, this isn't the place we want to be. We didn't plan well. If you don't plan well, you don't get where you're going, or where you want to be going, at any rate. And we want to think, death is universal. Notice what else Joshua says. He says, I am going the way of all the earth. See, it wasn't just some people. We talked earlier how Death is certain. There's no doubt in it. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." But death is universal. Hebrews 9:27 says, "Just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that the judgment comes." We have an appointment with death. Now we know, obviously, that when the Lord returns, there will be some people who will still be alive who haven't faced death. We know that that's the case. But that hasn't happened yet. Everybody's dying. Everybody will die until the point at which that happens and he does return. But we can just expect, the likely scenario is that we're going to die. At some point, yes, the Lord will return, but most folks in the history of the world have not been alive, and the majority will not be alive when he comes. Most will have died before that occurs. But then the last thing we want to notice from Joshua's statement is that death is specific to or oriented toward this world. It is a very physical, earthly thing. Notice he says, "I'm going the way of all the earth." It's an earthly phenomenon. And once we get beyond this earth, there is a place where there is no more death. Well, we don't have to worry about it or think about it or fear it. The Bible talks about all of those who were kept in bondage by the fear of death. We don't have to be afraid if we know where we're going. Revelation 21:4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." That's something to look forward to. The good that will come if we are faithful to Christ, that death is just a doorway. You know, I think about it, it's kind of like, can you imagine a little baby in the womb before it's born? Now obviously we can't really communicate with a little baby before it's born. We have trouble communicating with them much till they get to be about 2 or 3 years old at all. But if we could talk to that little baby, and if that little baby could talk back to us, imagine if we explained to that little baby, "You're about to be born." And the little baby said, "What's born? What's that mean? What does it mean to be born?" We said, "Well, what's going to happen is you're going to pass out through that little place right there, and you're going to come out into our world out here where we are, and so there's going to be sunshine, and there's going to be butterflies and birds and flowers and trees and sunrise and suns, and it's stars and the moon. It's going to be beautiful. There's mountains and valleys and rivers and all sorts of wonderful animals." And the baby would say back to us, "What's a sun? What's a sunrise? What's a butterfly? What's a flower? I don't need any of those things. I'm happy right here. I'm warm. It's dark. You know, I'm floating around in this fluid right here. It's wonderful. I don't have to worry about breathing or any of those things that you're talking about. I'm happy right here. I don't want to go anywhere else." And sometimes that's kind of the way we feel about this world. We're used to it. We know what it's like, and we're kind of comfortable with knowing what it's like. And God says, "Hey, but you can come be with me in heaven, but you've just got to go through that grave right there to get here. But if you come up here, say, you know, there's going to be no night and no tears, but there's going to be seraphim and cherubim, and there's going to be a crystal sea and the tree of life." And we say, "Well, you know, I've never seen a cherubim or a seraphim. What? I've never seen one of those things. I'm happy right here. Just let me stay right here. I don't want to go. But of course, we will go through the grave. When we do, we want to go to be with God. So we need to be prepared for that. You know, Ecclesiastes 7:2 says, "It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart." You know, if I said, "Hey, what do you want to do next Saturday? You want to go to a funeral or you want to go to a party?" Most of us would probably say, "You know, I'd rather go to the party. Let's skip the funeral." In fact, one of my cousins was one of the pallbearers at the funeral Saturday, and my mom said Friday night she had to talk to him. You know, she had to talk him into going. He didn't want to go. He wasn't interested. He's a young man. He's about 18 or 19, somewhere in there, and he lost his dad just a couple years ago, and a funeral wasn't where he wanted to be. He was afraid that it would affect him too much. He would have rather gone to a party. Well, most of us would. Better doesn't mean more fun. Better means we gain something from it. You go to a party and yeah, it's fun, but what do you really get? What do you really learn? How do you grow? How are you any better a person because you went to a party? Most of the time we're not. But we go to a funeral, we think, we realize this is the end of all mankind. We realize we are going that way. We realize we need to be prepared. And we try to live a better life. One of my cousins who hasn't been to church in, I'm not sure how long, she's about 3 years older than me. She used to go to church with us when we were teenagers, but she hadn't been in years. After the funeral yesterday, she said, "You know, I've been thinking about going back to church." I said, "Yeah, you need to. You need to go back." But, you know, it makes us think. When we get to that point. So it's better. It's not more fun to think about death, but being mindful of death makes us live better lives. We need to lay it to heart. We need to be prepared. If you're not prepared, we need to be prepared now and always because we know we will die. We don't know when, but we need to be prepared for it. And if you're not, and if there's anything we can do to help you to get prepared, please come as we stand and as we sing.